Hello, everyone, and welcome to Touch 'Em All. We are your hosts, Mario
and Rafi.
And after a one-week hiatus, we are back and packed full of baseball fun. A lot of stuff happened over the last couple of weeks in baseball news. So let's get started right into it before we head into our fantasy pitcher edition of Touch 'Em All. Let's talk some news. Rafi, what are some of the big stories that have happened over the past couple of weeks?
A couple of things going on in Texas with Josh Hamilton and Michael Young. Big news out of Cardinals camp with Albert Pujols not being able to reach a deal. And Miguel Cabrera got into a little trouble last week. And, you know, we'll see what the Tigers are going to plan to do with the slugger.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in the whole Texas thing because I wrote a blog about, and we talked about this, about Michael Young and how he... you know, wanted out of Texas, I think Texas was really, I mean, kind of messing with him, you know, giving him the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
You know, they go out, get Adrian Beltre. Okay, you know, you're going to be, Mike, you don't worry about it. You're going to be the DH. It's all good.
Exactly.
They go out and get Mike Napoli. They already have three catchers. So it's looking like Mike Napoli is going to be the DH. So now what is, you know, Young's, resorts to the super utility role, which he doesn't want. And I don't blame him, quite honestly. I think he can still play the field every day.
Yeah, but the thing is, I feel like the Rangers have... I mean, he's adequate. Michael Young is adequate on the field. But if you can improve your defense and still have a bat like Michael Young who can spell these guys every day, you know, I guess for the Rangers, yeah, that makes sense. And I know Michael Young doesn't necessarily want that. But if it... That's Michael Young is their franchise. If the Rangers could pitch that to him and kind of, you know, get him to stay and stay on board, and they're right there. They made it to the playoffs last year, and I think, you know, with the additions of Beltre and Napoli and so on and so forth, they can go deep. So Michael Young's just going to have to, you know.
Yeah, I mean... yeah, I guess he's going to have to kind of suck it up. Yeah. But I don't know. If I'm Michael Young, I'm a little disappointed.
No,
but
of course. You're always,
you know, I am
around
the franchise. The problem with dealing a guy like Michael Young is, you know, who's going to pay him the $48 million that he's still owed over the next 3 years? I know the Rangers want him to stay. Ron Washington has come out and said it. And Michael Young has really handled this, I think, like a true professional. He's come out and said... hey, you know, I'm unhappy about this. He reports to camp, you know, addresses the team, has no problems, and is, you know, still going to play even though he doesn't want to, you know, in that situation. He's still going to be out there playing. What concerns me about Texas is, you know, that rotation.
Yeah.
Those pitchers, I mean, they're talking Neftali Feliz to go to the rotation.
Right.
Who's going to close, number one? Number two, you know... that's a rotation last year that had Cliff Lee, doesn't anymore, and didn't really replace him. So I don't know what they're going to do.
As far as rotation is concerned, I mean, I guess they're pushing Neftali into the rotation because, like you said, they don't have much in the rotation to begin with. So, you know, maybe if Neftali has an outstanding spring training, then it's a no-brainer to have him maybe... number two, number three guy, especially now that we hear that Brandon Webb has been shut down, or at least, you know, had a minor setback.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see it how that goes. But definitely, if they don't have the pitching, they need Michael Young's bat in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a guy that's going to hit, you know, 280, 290, give you 20 home runs out of your DH or your super utility spot.
Right.
You know, that's a guy you definitely want to keep around. The other interesting thing that happened, a couple interesting things that happened this week was, first, Jose Bautista signs a 5-year, $65 million extension, avoiding arbitration, kind of fixes, you know, to keep him a Blue Jay for a while.
Do you think he deserves it?
You know, from what I've read and from what I've seen on the outlook for Bautista is he changed his swing.
Right.
You know, and in 2009, he had 10 home runs in the month of September.
Uh-huh.
And that was as a result of him changing his swing. So I think, you know, yes.
It's coming along.
It's coming along. Is he going to hit 50 home runs again? I don't think so. Is 40 a possibility? Yes, I think 40 is a definite possibility. What concerns me is the average. You know, can he hit for a slightly higher average than 260? Not that 260 is terrible, but you'd like to see something a little higher, maybe something in the 275, 280 range. But, you know, I think Bautista hit 54 home runs last year. That's nothing to sneeze at. I don't think it's a fluke. You know, I think Adrian Beltre's performance last year was more of a fluke than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't expect that same production out of Beltre this year that you know, the Texas Rangers are paying for now, especially with all that guaranteed money they're throwing at him. But, you know, that's my take. The other big thing is, you know, Pujols doesn't have a contract for 2012 and beyond.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So I think he's, you know, the fact that he doesn't have a contract going into next year, I think that means he's not going to be a Cardinal after next year, after this coming season.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's going to go elsewhere. I've heard talk of the Cubs. You had an article about that the Cubs seemed to be the most logical suitors. And I think that makes sense. They gave $10 million to Carlos Peña for this 1 year. But right. I think beyond that, I think they're looking to get into the Pujols sweepstakes.
Yeah, they have contracts coming off their books. And it would seem logical. I mean, there are other options out there. But, you know, I think Chicago seems to me the most realistic, although I wouldn't rule out the Cardinals. I mean, after all, he's a lifer
for the Redbirds. And the other thing is Matt Holliday said he would even defer pay to keep Pujols there. I mean, that says a lot for how they regard Albert.
Exactly.
In there, the other teams that I think make sense, I could see the Marlins doing something if they can increase the payroll enough.
If not, you know,
I don't think they're going to pay anybody more than what they're paying Hanley, unless, you know, it's some, you know, maybe it's an Albert Pujols, but they need to increase the payroll needs to be $120, $150 million next year.
I mean, I'm sure they'll snoop around and do their due diligence.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever, I mean, they were even rumored in the Michael Young sweepstakes. But I think the Marlins wanted them to eat way too much of his contract to bring him on. But I think Pujols is a possibility. I mean, to field Albert Pujols and Hanley Ramirez and Albert Pujols are actually related by marriage, some cousins, I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, random thoughts that we – random factoids that we know here on Touch 'Em All.
The Giants seem like another one. If I don't exactly remember if Barry Zito's contract is going to come off the books after this year. Maybe it's after next year. But if they could move around some payroll, some guys are coming off. The Giants, you know, you never know.
Yeah, the Giants are a possibility. Another team is that we've talked about before going out and doing something stupid is the Mets.
Yeah.
the Mets, you know. Anyway, but I think the Mets could do it. I think they would go out and spend the money. Although now with the whole, you know, issues that they're having from the Bernie Madoff fallout, who knows. Right. But you know, the Mets need to make a splash. They didn't make a splash this offseason. They need to do something next year, whether it's getting into, you know, the sweepstakes for Albert Pujols or trading for a guy like Michael Young and putting him at first base.
Exactly.
They need to do something. That team is aging. Beltran is not the same player he used to be. Pagan is, you know, getting to 30. Wright is probably one of the younger players on that team, and, you know, he can't carry that team on his own.
Right.
So the Mets need to do something.
The other thing, as far as the whole Pujols thing, next year the free agent market for first baseman will increase. If you've noticed, the Red Sox have not re-signed Adrian Gonzalez. I think they're kind of waiting to see what they're going to get out of him. Guys like Prince Fielder, he's another one who's going to be available. Carlos Peña, Derek Lee. So if the Cardinals end up losing out on Pujols, there are other options out there.
When you have a free agent class of first baseman that is Albert Pujols, Prince Fielder, Adrian Gonzalez, there's plenty to go around.
Exactly.
So I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe they get, you know, maybe he ends up in St. Louis, you know, stays in St. Louis, or he goes to another team, who knows. But we'll see what happens. I think Pujols will be Major League Baseball's first $300 million man.
Yeah, and is definitely not comparable to what LeBron James did this past.
Yeah, there will be no decision for Albert Pujols.
You know, people try to compare it. I don't. There's no comparison. To me, it's totally different. You know, he deserves to get paid. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The other, we have some guys, you know, looking for contracts, looking for big money. We also had some guys retire over the last couple weeks. Jim Edmonds and Gary Sheffield have both called it a career.
Mm-hmm.
Sheffield played 22 seasons with, you know, the Padres, Marlins,
Braves, Dodgers, Yankees, Tigers,
and most Mets. Recently the Mets, yeah. Over 500 career home runs. One of, what, 25 in the 500 club?
Something like
that. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think so.
I think so, too. He also holds a Marlins record, single season home run record for the Marlins with 42. That was back in 96, I think.
Yeah, 96.
Yeah, right before the World Series year.
The only thing with Sheffield was the whole
Mitchell report.
Yeah. The whole Mitchell report thing.
Yeah, but I think that didn't really stick to him. I think he was able to kind of deflect that, and I think he'll be all right. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't see why he wouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He seems like a, you know, good all around guy.
But I'm not sold on Jim Edmonds as a first ballot.
You don't think so?
No.
8-time Gold Glover, almost 400 career home runs.
It's just, you know, there's so many, well, not so many of them, of Jim Edmonds, but I don't know. It's almost like, you know, I guess I thought Roberto Alomar was first ballot and he wasn't. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Anyway, well, we'll see what happens. I think Edmonds is also a first ballot Hall of Famer, but we'll see. I mean, 8 gold gloves is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
And you know, he had over 200 career home runs with the Cardinals. So,
all right.
We'll see what happens. any other interesting news for...
Former Marlin Miguel Cabrera got into trouble with the law again.
Again.
This
is what, third, fourth time now?
I think twice recorded. I don't know about after that.
I know he did have that domestic dispute with his wife. He did go into rehab at one point.
But, yeah, this is, joking aside, this is a serious matter. He has to get his head right. He has to get his life in order before, you know, talking baseball or anything. And I think the Tigers are doing the right thing by, you know, just letting him take time to, you know, go see doctors or whatnot and just sit out for a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. What amazes me so much about Cabrera is he's had all these issues, but he's never let it affect him on the field.
Right.
If you look at his numbers, he's been one of the most consistent players since he came up in 2003.
Exactly.
And over the last five years, he's been incredibly consistent at the plate, you know, just hitting his life out.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it's amazing. You know, if he can get his head right, you know, there's nothing he can't do.
Exactly, but it's very difficult to you know, battle with alcoholism, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's an up-and-down thing.
Yeah, and we wish Cabrera the best. I think, you know, he's an incredible player, an incredible talent, and we'd love to see him, you know, finish out his Hall of Fame career because we know that he's got one ahead of him.
Exactly.
So anyway, Johan Santana, this will segue us nicely into our pitchers talk. Johan Santana is coming back from shoulder surgery this year. Usually one of the dominant fantasy pitchers.
Yeah.
He's due back middle of the summer, late June, early July,
right.
You know, just before the break. What are your expectations this year of Johan?
I think it'll take him a little bit of time, and he'll be just fine for your playoff stretch as far as fantasy baseball is concerned. In baseball terms, I guess, you know, we can expect him to kind of ease into it for the first month or so, and then depending on how the Mets are as well, because if the Mets are in it, then you could see more of Santana. If the Mets are not in it, then you may barely see Santana. So, you know, depending on how the Mets do, and you know, it, like I said, if the Mets do well, then I think he'll do fine.
Yeah, and let's look at I'm looking at a top 20 here,
mm-hmm.
and there's some names that kind of jump out at me because we all know who the elite are. We all know the Roy Halladays, the King Felix, the Lincecums, the Lees, you know, the Josh Johnsons, John Lesters, Adam Wainwrights. But there's some guys in the top 20 that kind of jump out at me, and I'm like, are they really top 20 guys?
Okay.
Among them, Clayton Kershaw,
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, coming up. He's a young guy. Don't get me wrong. The kid's got ace stuff. He's got a lot of potential.
Right.
But I don't know if he's, you know, a top 10 guy. Top 20 maybe, but a top 10?
I mean, he's got electric stuff, like you said, and I think, you know, he's young. He's only 22, so...
And I guess that's where I get, you know, is with the age. I mean, I don't know about you.
I mean, it depends on the pitcher. I believe Lincecum, he debuted at... No, Felix Hernandez definitely debuted at, I believe, 19, 20. And mm-hmm. look at him. So, yeah. it can be done.
I guess. You know what? I think it's because we're on the East Coast. We don't see enough of him.
That's probably
so
it.
I guess that's why I'm weary of him. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is one guy that jumps out at me. Zach Greinke is another one.
Yeah.
Because I think Zach Greinke, as good as he was in his Cy Young year, last year he showed that was probably a fluke. Because to me, the guy's a head case.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. I wish him well because mm-hmm. I know he's got a lot of talent. But right. to me, he's a head case.
Yeah, to me, you know, it's good that he ended up in Milwaukee. If he had ended up in the Bronx or anything like that,
yeah, I think Milwaukee,
I wouldn't even have, like,
yeah.
considered. But
I think Milwaukee takes a lot of the pressure off. Not that
yeah.
it's not a big market, because that's a pretty full stadium
right.
when I've seen games there. But I think it does take some of the pressure off. You're
Definitely.
Not playing in New York, Philly, Boston.
Right.
You know, you're not playing in any of those major baseball markets.
Exactly.
So I think it does take some of the pressure
off. He's going to have run support, but at the same time, I don't think that ERA is going to look more like last year's at 4.17 as opposed to his Cy Young 2.16 ERA year.
Yeah, and that was a huge anomaly
in
especially pitching in the American League, a 2.16.
That you're not going to get that very often.
Yeah, I agree. The other name that kind of like on that list I'm a little weary of is Ubaldo. I mean, came out of the gates firing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he was like the opposite of what Dan Heron is. You know, Dan Heron is, you know, well, actually, no, he's like another Dan Heron. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Electric stuff, great, you know, first half guy.
And then fizzles
out. Although Dan Heron didn't have that great a year first half last year, or
right.
a whole year for that matter. I mean, you've got guys ranked down below number 20, like David Price, who I think had an incredible year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, better than Sabathia. Sabathia's ranked at 7, and we're looking at Price at 21. I mean, to me, Price is more of a top 10 guy than Greinke is.
Yeah, definitely. Hands down. I'm not sure what the reasoning behind it is.
I mean, maybe Tampa's not going to get the run support that they had in the past.
But that's the thing. I feel like they can.
I absolutely think they can, especially after signing Manny and Johnny Damon. I think that's going to help them a lot.
Yeah.
And they've got a good young team. They've got a lot of guys coming back that are playing. You know, yeah, their big losses were Carl Crawford and Carlos Peña,
yeah.
but they're returning, for the most part, a lot of that team.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm
questionable on Francisco Liriano. Last year, you know, he had an okay year.
Yeah, he had a good year last year.
I mean, battling from Tommy John and you know, missing a lot of time. I'm not sold on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like he's a high whip, high ERA guy. He'll get you the strikeouts.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's also gonna strike out 200 guys a season.
It depends what type of, you know, what direction you want to go in.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what we get out of Liriano this year. And as a matter of fact, apparently he had an MRI a couple days ago to check on
his elbow.
On his elbow. And so, I don't know. anytime I hear MRI, I kind of stay away.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. The other guy, Tommy Hansen, I'm looking for him to have a bounce back year this year. He didn't live up to that rookie year that he had, where he was finished, I think, second in – yeah, he finished second behind Chris Coughlin in the
rookie of the
year. In the rookie of the year. Third was Jay Happ, who we'll get to because I like Jay Happ a lot, especially in Houston now.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Hansen's going to have a bounce back here. I think his ERA will be somewhere low threes, maybe high twos, possibly.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, he pitches in a fair park. He pitches – he has to pitch in some pitcher's parks like Sun Life Stadium. Nationals Park has proven to not be a great hitter's park either so far.
City Field.
City Field is a cavern.
Yeah.
So – when he's pitching in those parks, I mean, the only real hitter's park he faces in his competition is his Philly.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a good chance to get that low three, high two ERA. He's going to strike out, you know, maybe 200 guys, maybe. His high so far for the career is, what, 173, I think? Is that what that readout there is? I think you'll see numbers, you know, lower more towards his rookie season.
The encouraging thing with him is he pitched over 200 innings.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a pitcher pitch over 200 innings, you know, as far as in a baseball standpoint, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That means that he goes deep into games and whatnot.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing for auction, for those people in auction drafts. I'm looking at a list right now and some values. The top seven guys, which are Halladay, Hernandez, Tim Lincecum, Cliff Lee, John Lester, Adam Wainwright, and CeCe Sabathia. They are all $20 or more for auction in an auction in a mixed league. Obviously, those guys will carry more value in AL only or NL only,
right.
Particularly Lester, Sabathia, and Hernandez, because I'm looking at this list right now. Pitching in AL-only leagues is pretty shallow, whereas in NL-only, it's pretty deep. It's
pretty deep, yeah.
Yeah. or quality pitching, anyway. A lot of these guys you can pick up. I mean, you can really wait on starting pitching this year. You can pass on those top seven guys and still get a Justin Verlander for $16, a Chris Carpenter for $16, Ubaldo Jimenez for $15. I mean, there's a lot of good pitchers. I mean, and after Chad Billingsley, you can pick up every pitcher for $10 or less.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Garz is at $10. Tim Hudson's at $9. Hiroki Kuroda, who's nobody loves, but I love. I love me some Hiroki Kuroda. I pick him up every year because he puts up the numbers. He gets wins. He strikes guys out.
Right.
And he's just solid every year, and I don't think he gets enough credit.
No, not at all. That Dodgers offense, I guess last year, to me, was pedestrian. And we'll see this year. Maybe their offense can improve and wins can pile up.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are going to have a pretty nice rotation, a nice little three-headed monster there with Ted Lilly, Clayton Kershaw, and Hiroki Kuroda. So we'll see what happens. I think that those are some guys to definitely consider as well.
Definitely.
The other guy that kind of worries me is Matt Latos.
Really?
I don't know why. I think...
Run support or...?
I think it's going to be run support with the absence of Adrian Gonzalez. I think it's going to be... excuse me. I think it's... I don't know that he's going to have, you know, the sturdiness. I don't think he's going to be durable. I mean, if they were talking about limiting his innings last year...
Right.
Has he pitched over 200 innings yet? No. Okay, so, you know, what did he pitch last year? 184 and two-thirds? I mean...
He's projected not to go over 200 again, so...
So that means once you get into September, when you're in the playoff run, you're not going to have
They're going to cut him down.
They're going to reduce his workload, which, to me, doesn't make sense. I'd rather have a guy like Justin Verlander over Matt Latos. Or, you know, even Jared Weaver, although he's not going to get the run support, is still going to be striking a ton of guys out.
Definitely.
And is going to pitch over 200 innings.
Right.
You know, I would wait. The other guy I don't know that I would touch this year is Giovanni Gallardo.
Really?
I mean, I guess I would, but...
I agree with you in the sense that he'll get run support but I think he'll give up almost just as much.
In home runs and anything.
And you know, he'll get you the strikeouts, but that's
about it. I'd rather, if I'm going to take a Brewers pitcher, I'd rather have Sean Marker.
And look at his whips in the last 3 years, a 1.37, 1.31, and 1.25.
Yeah, I'd rather pass on Gallardo and get Sean Markham, to be honest. I mean, Sean Markham put up last year incredible numbers. He pitched in the AL East last year. He pitched 195 and a third innings, which he would have capped 200. He would have gone over 200 for sure had he not gone on the DL with the elbow or whatever it was. So he had that. He had 165 strikeouts, a 3.64 ERA in the AL East, and a 1.15 WHIP. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty lights out stuff for an AL East pitcher.
Mm-hmm. And consistency. I mean, in 2009, he missed all of that year with the injury, but
yeah, with the Tommy John surgery. But he pitched 150 in
08.
In 08,
and the WHIP is almost identical. So, to me, that's consistency, and that's something that you want to go for.
Yeah, and this is going to be his third full season in the majors. I think he's going to, I think it's going to be a good year for him.
Definitely. And I don't think Matt Cain gets a lot of love. For some reason, I think he's under the radar. He doesn't get noticed.
Absolutely. I mean, when Matt Cain is
definitely better than Dan Haren, definitely better than Jared Weaver, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how he's,
I think he gets overshadowed by Lincecum.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think when you think Giants, you think Lincecum, not Matt Cain.
Not Matt Cain.
Although Matt Cain, like you said, has great stuff.
He reminds me of like a Josh Johnson. It's just, he's got electric stuff. I mean, he's always consistently low in WHIP and ERA, and he doesn't get the run support. That's the one thing with him.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's consistent in his starts. Yeah.
And I think the Giants are going to have a great rotation this year also. I think
Between
Kane, Lincecum, Sanchez, and Bumgarner. And I think, is Barry Zito coming back this year as well?
I believe so,
You got Barry Zito rounding out your rotation, and Bumgarner is a young guy. They have a young rotation that's going to be together, hopefully, for a while. I mean, those guys are really good.
Speaking of young guys, how about Jeremy Hellickson with the Rays?
I think Hellickson should have stayed in the rotation last year and not been pulled out when Wade Davis came back. But, I mean, he was pretty lights out last year. Went 4-0 in 36 innings, allowed 32 hits, only 8 walks.
Yeah.
33 strikeouts and a 3.47, 110 line. That's pretty good, man. I got to say, I mean, I think he's going to be a top 20 guy by the end of the year.
Yeah.
He's got electric stuff. He's 24 years old.
They made the right move in trading Garza to give him a shot.
Absolutely.
At the rotation.
And speaking of the Rays, what do you think about Wade Davis? Because I was big on him in 2009. And I drafted him in 2010, but he didn't live up to it. I mean, he just kind of had an off year. I mean, we saw flashes where he was just lights out.
Yeah.
Big, tall guy, has that Josh Johnson type, high angle delivery. I don't know. I mean,
I'm not too crazy. I mean, the WHIP has been over 1.25 in 2 years in a row. Granted, 2009 was his rookie year, so he didn't pitch much. But it's one of those that you're gonna see him with the high ERA, the high WHIP, maybe double digit wins. Given the offense,
I think he's a good, a good flyer guy, end of the draft, kind of like, one of your last picks. I think that's where where you get the best value for him. He's got $1 value in auction leagues, maybe $2 in an AL only league or a little more because of how shallow pitching is in the AL.
Yeah,
but I think. I think he's going to be a good guy to close out your rotation.
Two guys that don't get mentioned much are Bronson Arroyo and Mark Burley.
They're guys that
it depends how you want to draft. Because if you want to draft guys that are innings eaters, they're not necessarily going to be ERA or WHIP champions or anything like that. But they will give you the strikeouts and wins, depending on how the offense is. With Burley, you're not going to get much strikeouts. He's more of a contact
pitcher. Yeah, contact ground ball type guy.
But those two, you know, they rarely get injured. They make most of all of their starts.
Yeah, those guys are very sturdy.
And so, you know, and a guy that I like for next year, from the Pittsburgh Pirates, James McDonald.
Oh yeah, well, we know. I know you love you some James McDonald.
Yeah, 68 strikeouts in 71 2/3 innings last year. He wasn't gonna get a shot in Los Angeles with the Dodgers, given that rotation. So when the Pirates acquired McDonald for Octavio Dotel, I think they got themselves a treat.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have control issues though.
Yeah,
I mean 29 walks in those 71 2/3, and he's around the plate a lot. I mean 70 hits.
Yeah, he's one of those that, you know, I feel like those strikeout numbers are gonna be up there, but the ERA and the WHIP might not, depending on how that goes. I mean, he can be that type, or he could be the JJ type who can get strikeouts and also be low in WHIP and ERA. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, another guy I think who doesn't get enough credit, mm-hmm. and I understand why he doesn't, is Ricky Nolasco.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just electric. I was watching video of him the other day, and we kind of talked about it last year during the season. How I'm noticing his velocity's down.
Yeah.
You know, he was pitching and it was like 92, 91. When he's on, his fastball's 94, 95 consistently.
Yeah.
You know, just like Josh Johnson. When Josh Johnson's on, his fastball's 97, 98.
Yeah.
Ricky Nolasco is the kind of guy who unfortunately gives up too many home runs. He had, I think, like 20, gave up like 29 home runs last year.
Uh-huh.
But if he can bring that number down in half, he's an elite pitcher.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, he had an ERA over 4 in, what, 2 seasons now?
Yeah.
Back-to-back seasons now? I think he can bring that number down. I mean, his walks, he barely walks anybody. 44. Here are his walks the last 3 seasons. 42, 44, and 33.
Uh-huh.
Each of those seasons, he hasn't failed to top 165 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And last season was shortened because of injury.
Yeah, injury and ineffectiveness. Remember, he was sent down to the minors.
Oh, yeah, in 09, he was sent down for a little bit. Yeah, right. So he didn't top 200 innings that year either.
Right.
But
if you look at 08, I think that's the Nolasco you need.
Yeah, I think that's the Nolasco that
he's capable
of. Yeah, I mean, 15-8 in 2008, 212 1/3 innings, 192 hits, 42 walks. 186 strikeouts, 352 ERA, 110 WHIP. That's the Nolasco that I think is capable of, and I think we can see this season.
Definitely.
I think the team is going to have the defense behind it to give him that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, ERA a lot of times is not – sometimes it's not
measurable.
It's a tough measure, man, yeah. Because – excuse me. A lot of times, I mean, an error here, you know, a missed ball there, you know, whatever. I mean, there's things you can't control.
Right. But sometimes you leave runners on and the reliever allows your runs.
Thank you, Raniel Pinto. Oh, man, Raniel Pinto.
So, yeah, it's not much of a measuring stick, but I think a statistic like WHIP, in my opinion,
says
a lot.
Another couple of guys I like next year, number one, Trevor Cahill. Had a quiet, solid year in Oakland last year. That's one guy that I like. The other guy I like to bounce back is John Lackey.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll bounce back. I think he's already hit his peak with the Angels. You know, he'll help you in strikeouts, wins, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, he actually logged over 200 innings for the first time in at least 2-3 years.
Yeah, because he's been hurt.
He's been hurt and whatnot, and so, you know, that's always a plus. But other than that, you know, you really can't do much with a 1.42 WHIP. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those, you hope he does well, and you know he'll be, the Red Sox are going to be in it, so.
I mean, if you can pick him up late for cheap, mm-hmm. go for it. I think, you know, what you see is what you get.
I'd rather have a Beckett or a Peavy.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, we'll see if Peavy's going to pitch this year.
Yeah.
What do you think about Edwin Jackson in Chicago?
I think we'll see more of the same. I mean, Chicago's a hitter's park.
Yeah. So. I mean, he's kind of, I just feel like he's kind of a head case.
You think so?
I mean, he's so inconsistent.
Yeah. I mean, he's had 2 years of 200 or more innings. You know, I guess you draft him for the strikeouts.
Yeah.
You draft him for the strikeouts.
I mean, he's going to get you over 150 strikeouts. A guy I really like, and I think it was good for him to get a change of scenery last year, was Jay Happ.
Yeah.
You know, came over to Houston in the Oswalt trade and was just lights out at that from that moment forward.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to have him on one of my teams in our league that we were in together. And he's just, I mean, boom, boom, boom. I mean, knocking guys out, quality start after quality start.
Yeah, in 2009, he almost won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, I think he's
got the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's ranked low because of the offense, but, I mean,
yeah, I think that'll do him in.
I think people are going to stay away from him because of it, and if that's the case, fine, but I'll take him any day.
Exactly.
He's got electric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy I like is Zambrano, Big Z.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's got, you know, he's got his issues, but he always seems to get past it. And when he does, I mean, he's good.
Yeah. After when he returned to the rotation after, you know, that hiatus in the bullpen and whatnot, he finished 8-0 with a 1.41 ERA. I mean, things clicked at the end of the year for Big Z there. So I feel like he'll have a good year. Again, if his head is on right and the Cubs, you know, put some offense on the board, he'll have a good year. I wouldn't shy away from him. You know, and a guy like Javi Vasquez who didn't have a good year with the Yankees, I think will have a great year with Florida.
Yeah, I think a lot of the pressure is going to be off of him.
Definitely.
He's going to be the fourth starter behind three solid guys, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I mean, and everything I've read about Florida's rotation is that they're going to be one of the best in the National League.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Volstad's a question mark.
You think so?
But, I mean, he's just...
Yeah, he finished great last
year. He finished great towards the end of the year, but, I mean, if his fastball, if his sinker's not on...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys are just going to be hitting that all day, and we've seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been at games where that's happened, and it's like, ugh. You know, or he'll start out great through five innings, and then in the sixth inning, it's like, oh, here we go again, you know? So I think Vasquez is going to be good, actually. I'm kind of excited about that. I mean, hopefully he puts up 2009 Atlanta type numbers.
Yeah.
You know, 15-10, almost 220 innings, 238 strikeouts.
I mean, even if his according to MLB and all that, his velocity's down. Even if he turns into a ground ball pitcher and might not get as many strikeouts, he can do it. Or maybe even a fly ball pitcher. At Sun Life, it's doable.
Yeah, at Sun Life, I definitely think he can get away with being a fly ball pitcher.
Uh-huh.
Because it's such a pitcher's part, especially center field. I mean, center field is just huge out there. I mean, it's incredible how bad that park is for hitters.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily shy away from Vasquez.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I think he's going to be good. Another guy I like is Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be the last guy we talk about because we're going on and on here about all the guys that we love, and we're hitting almost the 40-minute mark here. But I think we'll have to do relief pitchers next week.
Yeah.
Gio Gonzalez, Miami boy, actually. I know a guy that knows him.
Yeah.
Had a good year last year. I mean, was a rookie, was he? No, he's not a rookie.
No,
he's
but...
He's been pitching for a while.
He pitched over 200 innings... 171 strikeouts, an ERA of 3.23.
Yeah.
So.
And I think he's in a division with weak offenses aside from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see why I can't put those numbers up again. No, I don't. No. And especially with a team like Oakland that's going to give him support.
Yeah.
I could see him doing it.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't. So yeah. I think that's a definite possibility. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think Gio's got a good chance to repeat his numbers.
There are a lot of options out there. Like we said, yeah. Very deep. And, you know, you just have to do your homework and kind of look at the trends. That's a big thing is you want to look at the last 2, 3, maybe 4 years of how a pitcher has done, and you kind of base your decision on that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, I mean, especially once you get into the season, you have your pitchers set up. Look at the matchups, because a lot of times pitchers, yeah, are elite pitchers, but for whatever reason cannot spell a team.
Right.
You know, they always have trouble with a particular team. And yeah. I'm not talking about the elite guys, because mm-hmm. the elite guys are elite regardless.
Right.
I mean, a Josh Johnson, you throw him out there every day. A Roy Halladay, you throw him out there every day.
Right.
But
you don't have to start people if the matchup doesn't suit them.
Right. You don't have to start a Ricky Nolasco at Citizens Bank Park.
Right.
You know, I think I would kind of shy away from that one. Although Ricky has always been good against the Phillies.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone into Citizens Bank Park and thrown a shutout.
Right.
Not that was probably a bad example. But you know, you guys get the idea.
Right.
So but anyway, with those words of advice, we leave you to it, and we hope you email the show because we love fantasy questions, and I know there's a lot of questions about pitchers out there.
Right.
So please feel free to contact us. Again, it's touchemall, touchemall at rocketmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at touchemallmario, or you can follow Rafi on Twitter at sportstalkwrafi, R-A-F-I. Until next week, we will be doing our relief pitching preview.
Pitching, yeah.
That's going to be pretty interesting because I think I have my theories on relief pitchers, and yeah. I'm sure you have yours. So we'll see what happens, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, have a good week, everyone.